So welcome students, now we are on chapter 6. We are already reaching the midway of our syllabus, and this chapter is taking you to the supply side of the market. Now remember, when you are reading supply or you are learning about supply, you have to always think it from the context of the producer, that is the seller, the business firm as a production unit. The objectives of this chapter would be revolving around the law of supply, the various factors which determine supply. They are all connected with law of supply. What do you mean by supply? And a very important element which we are here talking about is the backward bending supply curve of labor, the elasticity of supply, time element and supply. What role does time play on supply? So these would be the main objectives of this chapter. Let's go ahead. We start further with what do we understand by supply? It's very clear here that supply is the various amount of a good which sellers are willing and able to sell. Now here the word willing and able to sell. At a given price per unit of time. This is very important. So when we talk about supply, supply is the various amount of a good which the seller are willing and able to sell at any given price per unit of time. This is important because many a times if the market prices are much below the reasonable market price that the sellers are expecting, they may refuse to sell the output. They may withhold the stock. Further, there are various factors which determine supply. The very first factor which determines supply is price. Price has a very direct impact on supply. So we say higher the price, higher the quantity supplied. So today the companies try to reallocate the resources into manufacturing those products where they fetch a higher revenue. Products with higher market prices will always be more supplied by the sellers than the products which have a low price margin. Second determinant, which is very important in supply, is the price of other commodities. Today, the market is where the sellers are not just targeting on one single product, but companies are becoming multi-product firms. So when we talk about the price of other commodities, here the profitability of other commodities, the revenue, the market price of other commodities play a very important role in deciding the production. If we take a very simple example of a farmer who is cultivating wheat and let's say jawar, and he finds that the market is giving him higher return for wheat than jawar, he will use most of his land and inputs for cultivating wheat rather than jawar. That's just because the market price of wheat is rising faster than the prices of jawar. Exactly like that, multi-product firms are always keeping a track of those products which will fetch higher market revenue than the current product that they are manufacturing. So whether it is pharmaceutical companies, whether it is companies making fast-moving consumer goods, they are always looking for finding what are the prices of either a substitute or a complementary good and accordingly make the decision. So yes, we say that price of other commodity will have, you can say, an opposite impact on the supply. Like in case of wheat and jawar, if we talk about price of wheat rising faster, then the supply of jawar is coming down because farmers are more keen and they find greater incentive in cultivating wheat than jawar. So how price of other product, it has an inverse impact on the supply of the current product. Coming to goals. Here we are trying to tell you that the firms, whatever they are supplying to the market, there are two goals. One, profit, and the other is society. Profit maximization is, as you have already studied in the objectives of the firm, is one of the sole and prime goal of every business enterprise. But with time, because other objectives, if they are fulfilled, they help in indirectly attaining profit maximization. Many firms today are looking at the goals of meeting the interest of the society on a large scale. This brings a lot of government attention And definitely a lot of government you can say grants also that the companies may get, some type of government support that the companies may get. So that is mostly moving the company's goal to social welfare. And we have corporate social responsibility, which is catching up with along with profit maximization objective goal of the producer. So a direct impact on the supply of the product, like again coming back to Jio, how companies and electric cars, they are in align with the government's central or national level goal of bringing down the emission of carbon in the economy. So companies are trying to sync in with the macro level objectives of the government, and accordingly manufacturing and expanding their production plants towards the supply of those products which will be in align with the government's or national objectives. Then we have the next determinant, which is called as technology. None of us can ignore the role that technology plays into the supply. It's always going to have a direct impact on the supply. The better the technology, the more the robotic technology, the higher and faster the supply. And yes, this is going to be the in thing very soon in the market in India, where robotic technology will be used in manufacturing plants in order to speed up and expand the supply of whether it's automobiles or manufactured products. The next important variable or determinant is production cost. Now, production cost is said to have an inverse impact on the supply. As you can see clearly, if cost increases, supply is restricted. No company will be interested in spending a very large amount in experiment if the revenue that they fetch from the market is not going to be much. Sometimes the cost that we incur in making the product is much more than the ultimate outcome. So it is not profitable. So if the cost of production starts rising, it is a clear indication that very soon the supply of those products whose production cost has started picking up will be becoming less in the market. Like for example, ethanol. Ethanol, which is a byproduct of petrol and sugarcane, it is still in the experimental stage. Why is ethanol not becoming the next substitute fuel in the market? Because the cost of creating ethanol is so high that it will not fetch enough revenue from the market, and hence the overall manufacturing and production of ethanol is on a hold. Availability of raw materials. Now, input. Input, we say output functionally depends on input. You have studied this in chapter one when we were discussing about scope of managerial economics. Supply is said to be always adversely affected whenever the inputs are not freely available. So how fast the inputs have an excess, like here we are talking about natural resources. You talk about timber for the paper manufacturing firm, or we talk about the rubber for making of tires, any natural resources. The availability and accessibility plays a very important role in impacting the supply of the finished goods. The next factor that you see over here is climate and forces of nature. Now, the moment we talk of climate, agricultural sector is the first hit. A bad monsoon, a failure of agricultural crops, and the supply gets shortened in the market. And that leads to what? Food inflation. Here we are trying to say that the timing and quantum is the quantity. So the timing and quantity of rains has found to be always having a direct impact on the supply of agricultural crops. Next factor is time element. Now, time. Time is always in economics divided into two broad categories: short run, long run. What is happening in the short run? In the short run, the supply cannot be changed. So you have to make a note of this. Supply cannot be changed in the short period. Why? Because production is a time-bound program. You cannot have immediate production and fast supply in the market because there is a demand picking up. So here when we talk about production as a time-bound program, in the short period, supply is always going to be a little stagnant. So with change in prices, demand supply gets adjusted after a certain period of time. So this exactly happened when we had the pandemic hitting the countries. There was serious short supply of vaccines. But with the change in time, the supply started increasing. So the first, and therefore there was priority that first the vaccination should be given to the frontline workers. So you understand how time element has a direct impact on the supply of essential products. The next factor is transport facilities. Transport facilities. Better the transport, faster the transport definitely enhances the supply. And that's what the Prime Minister is currently focusing on. He says improve the network of roadways, railways, connectivity should improve, and this would lead to faster logistics and more supply and widening the markets overall in India. And when you talk about the bullet train model, which has already hit the Indian economy, it is one of the addition to enhancement of transport and better supply and faster and quick supply and more business. Taxation and subsidy. Yes, here we talk about the role of government. We say government through taxes and subsidy influences the production initiative of entrepreneurs. If the government wants to provide incentive to the entrepreneurs, then they would definitely give them tax rebates. They would give them more subsidy so that it can have a direct impact on production and further the supply. This can happen especially in case of manufacturing of essential products. So when we talk about, let's talk about school uniforms, to books, to vaccines, which are very much essential, government can definitely provide taxes, tax rebates, and more subsidy for enhancing the supply. Coming to a factor called expectations regarding future price. No doubt, price is one of the most sensitive determinant of supply, but also comes the psychology of the producer class. They believe on expectations, they believe on future projections. So they many a times try to speculate. They try to understand what the future price would be and on that basis make present decisions. It is found in economics that future price expectations can either bring two impacts. Speculative holding means where the sellers deliberately hold the products, they withhold the stock. So that will bring less supply in the market in the short run. Or sometimes it will lead to distressed sales, which means they will try to sell off everything at the current price because they are of the expectation that maybe the prices in the future may fall. So whenever there is these type of future predictions from the producer class, the investor class, it will definitely impact the overall supply of the products in the market. After understanding all these determinants of supply, you built up the supply function. Now in economics, especially in microeconomics, function is an arrangement between the variables, that is the independent and the dependent variable. In function, we try to build up a equation about the variables. So if you look at this particular equation here, we find that quantity QXS, quantity of X which is supplied, functionally depends on so many factors. These alphabets that you see written inside the bracket, these alphabets are nothing but they are the symbols used for all these variables. Taking you back. P for price of the commodity, PX for price of other commodity, G for goals, T for technology, production cost C, and so on. Am I clear? So, production function is a functional relation between quantity that will be supplied of any given product, say X, which functionally depends on all the variables. Whatever is written inside the bracket will be called as the independent variables. They will change with time. But when these variables change, they will impact the supply. So this is like a cause-effect relationship. In this function, we will try to understand which factor will have what type of impact on supply. For that, the student go back to this theory. They go back to this theoretical explanation on determinants of supply. This helps them to understand which variable will have what type of impact on supply, whether direct or whether inverse. Am I clear? Okay. Well, the law of supply says that if we pick up only one variable from this all set of variables, we can establish a relationship between supply and the other variable. So when we try to understand the relation between price and only supply, then we determine the law of supply. The law of supply is the fundamental microeconomic law of market, which says other things being constant or remaining same, quantity supplied of a commodity at any given time is directly related to its price. It means that when the prices will rise, the quantity supply, if it rises, the law of supply is in operation. What are the other things that must be kept constant? If you see this slide, they are none other than the determinants. So when you are trying to understand the law of supply and apply law of supply, you are not going to look at the other variables. Similarly, the producer who ignores the impact of other variables and who is only and only purely taking action based on price, then we say he is operating as per the law of supply. So law of supply says if the market prices go up, let me supply more. If the market prices fall, I withhold the stock. So supply and price, if they are directly related, keeping other factors constant, then we say it is the law of supply. The law of supply gives us the supply curve. The functional relation between price and quantity, when we try to convert it into a graph, we get the supply curve. And usually the supply curve is upward sloping because it is showing a positive relation between the quantity supplied of any product depending on its price. Look here. This is how the supply graph looks like. It is an upward sloping graph, where the quantity supplied is measured on the x-axis and the price is measured on the y-axis. So as the prices are moving from minimum 1 to 14 rupees, the quantity supply will be increasing or expanding and we get a positively sloped supply curve. So all those products whose supply in the market have tried to proportionately or unequally rise with the rise in price, we will get these type of supply graphs. But this is not always true. There is a case where the supply curve will not be straight going upwards, but it will be sloping backward. This has been one of the breakthroughs in the law of supply. So it was found that in case of labor, the law of supply is an exception. Now in case of labor, the number of hours that a person is working is called supply. And the price is the wages that the person is given. This law of supply is not applicable in case of labor because after a point of time, it is found that the supply of labor starts reducing. Now, this was very interesting to understand that why the supply curve of labor is bending backward and how is it an exception to the law of supply. It goes like this: as wages increase, labor supply goes up to a point, but after that it reduces because labor prefers leisure for work. A very simple example, all of us, when we start our career in life, we are like this positively sloped supply curve. We put in more and more and more hours of our time to get more and more income. But the question comes is till when? You will realize that there is a point where you don't have any leisure time for yourself, because all the time you are only working, working and working. You have no time for leisure, you have no time for entertainment, you have no time for rest, no time for sleep. You are only working. So, what happens is, a point comes where even if you are paid more, you will start asking for hike in your income. Because even by working for less hours, if you are paid, earning more, you will definitely go for it, right? Now, to make you understand, I have this graph over here. In this graph, you can see the graph going upwards and then taking a back. There's a backward bend. Now, where is that backward bend? If you take a perpendicular line from there, it comes to 12. Or 12 ke baad, it goes back to 8. So what have we done here is, on the x-axis, we have measured the hours worked per day, 4, 8, 12, 16. Aap 4 ghante kaam kar sakte ho, 8 ghante, 12 ghante, 16 ghante, barabar. On the y-axis, we will have to find out the wages per hour. I have not mentioned anything here, because I want the students to use their own manual calculation. You can take any number that you like. To go with a very basic, suppose if we start with 100 rupees per hour, 100 rupees per hour. So if a person is paid 100 rupees per hour, if he works for 4 hours, he will earn 400, 8 hours, 800, 12 hours, 1200. But after putting in 12 hours, because of experience, because of having a skill of getting the work done, the person says, no, now I'm not going to work for 100 rupees per hour. You have to increase my pay. So company decides to pay him 200 per hour, double. Now the question here is, if he puts in 12 hours of work, he'll earn how much? Yeah, exactly, 2400. But will he prefer to earn 2400? It's just the double. This is where it was found that in some cases, I don't say all, but in some cases, the person may refuse to work for 12 hours and prefer to work only for 8 hours. So when the person puts only 8 hours, he will earn how much? 1600. Earlier the person was earning 1200, now the person is earning 600. Or let's say 1600. So what has happened to this 4 hours? The 4 hours that the person has refused to work is substituted for rest and leisure and comfort. Now this is exactly what happens. Now what type of economic, this is the economic theory, but how is it useful for the business firm? This is very useful for the employer, especially the HR manager, who is going to increase the wages so that he can or she can have more and more hours of the labor or of their employees at the workplace. They have to understand this exceptional case, exceptional supply graph of labor, that you cannot make people work for more and more hours by giving them more and more incentives, because there is always something called as leisure substituted for work. So to what extent can the employees be made to work can be understood through this backward bending supply graph of labor, which can be vary from individual to individual. See, we always say economics is an art and science. Why we say economics is an art? Because every individual differs. So the theory that we are learning here cannot be applied to everybody equally. So it will become individualistic, specific. Maybe this type of supply graph of labor can be applied to, let's say, employee A, but it may not be applied to employee B, because employee B can work for 12 hours and earn 2,400, but not be willing to work for 16 hours. So you are understanding. Therefore, when people are made to work on Sundays, they have to be paid little extra, because only then that incentive can be compensated for. Yes, you are right. Somebody is thinking about opportunity cost now, which we had discussed, economic principle. Yes, here there is an opportunity cost. I'm sacrificing my rest, I'm sacrificing my leisure for work. So you have to compensate me for that. And that has to be so much large enough for me that this sacrifice gets nullified. Right? So this is what we learn as one very economic principle which can be put to practice while negotiating. Now we move to the next subtopic of supply, that is reservation price and supply. Now when you talk about reservation price and supply, what is this reservation price? Economic theory says reservation price is that price below which the seller would refuse to sell. Why is there something called as reservation price? Is it like a benchmark? Yes. Because reservation price is that minimum price which the seller must get from the market so that he or she is not in a loss. Therefore, it is said to be like a guard for the profit margin. Seller wants to guard his profit margin. So he is keeping a reservation. Ke below main bechunga hi nahi. Right? So refusing to sell and go without earning anything from the market is a reservation price. Many a times this reservation price is determined by many things, but some factors we found were seller's need for liquid cash. If the seller is in need of cash, he wants to wind up his business, he may bring down the price to just equal the cost. Matlab jo cost hai wahi cover hona chahiye. If this happens, then our customers are very lucky. Sometimes they may go and they may find a brand sale of some, you know, branded products, heavy discounts. And they find that this type of benefits can be earned if it happens with, clothes, shoes, accessories. You will find this type of reservation price happening in the market where prices have crashed to such a level that you are surprised that how can a company sell the product at such low price. Durability of the commodity. This is a very typical scenario that you see when you go to the vegetable market. By the end of evening, late evenings, or by late night, when they have to wind up, the vendors are usually crashing down the reservation price. They are selling the price of the product at which they have just purchased, or the cost. So most of the restaurants prefer to visit the vegetable market when it is the time to close down the market, because that is where the prices fall to a very extreme low level. Sellers' expectations about future price. When we talk about sellers' expectation about future price changes, now if the sellers are expecting the prices to rise, what will they do? They'll definitely increase the price, na? So sellers' expectation, they know that the market mein price badhne wala hai. So sometimes they tell you, see, we are still selling you at this price. The prices are going to hike. This has happened a lot during the pandemic situation. Everybody was of the fear that post-pandemic the prices would rise. So some sellers had already started increasing the price of some durables, saying that afterwards the price after 1 month may be even higher. So Amazon, Flipkart had used this strategy where they were giving huge discounts to the customers, and customers were also aware that future prices are going to rise, so it's better to buy now rather than pay high price later. Also in case of real estate, because there were no stamp duty charges during pandemic, so there were many people who have booked property, who have invested in property for the just to save themselves from heavy stamp duty charges, which would be applicable later on. So you found this happening in real estate as well. The next reason why reservation price may change may be the cost of storage. If there's a very high cost of storage, especially for perishable products, and of course warehouse expenses, if they are very high, then the seller may bring down the price and try to clear off the stock. So in all these cases, we have seen that reservation price is somewhere controlled by various factors from the seller's point of view. But ultimately, there are prices may go up or prices may fall. Thank you.